with oil in Iraq, pipeline in Afghanistan. Indians and Mexicans brought out the cavalry, 'cause they were in the way of manifest destiny. Guatemala had bananas, Somalia has oil, Venezuela has democracy that we wanna spoil. Cuba has cigars and rum, Filipino sugar cane, Colombia had the isthmus and some kilos of cocaine. But now our enemies are treasonous, they tell the truth and that's serious. It's adversity, it's mockery, it's insurgency, hostility, but mostly White House sociopathology. Daniel Ellsberg was once the most dangerous man for telling the truth about the war in Vietnam. And Bradley Manning's murder footage was too graphic of U.S. conduct clearly sociopathic. It's close to blow and everybody should be knowing about corruption, the waste and abuse. Transparency is treasonous, democracy is dangerous. It's a crime to tell the truth. Edward Snowden told us all what we already knew, that the NSA is taking notes on everything we do. Is it worse that they are spying or covering up with lying with their files on where we go and with who? It's all so low and everybody should be knowing about corruption, ways and abuse. Transparency is treasonous, democracy is dangerous. It's a crime to tell the truth. Kiriakou fingered Brennan for torture in Guantanamo. Tom Drake, the NSA, for $1 billion a dough. Jeffrey Sterling, CIA, sabotaging nuclear blueprints to Iran, they were passing. It's close to blowing, everybody should be knowing about corruption, the waste and the abuse. Transparency is treasonous, democracy is dangerous. It's a crime to tell the truth. I was on the road in Buffalo on my way to Canada to go to a gig in Detroit. Seems they had me in a file as long as a quarter mile about the songs I sing and every joint. They took my passport with my truck in detention and submitted me to interrogation. I escaped captivity, now only outlaws will be free, living outside the law and outside of this nation. It's cold so blow and everybody should be knowing about corruption, the ways and the views. Transparency is treason, civil liberties are dangerous. It's a crime to tell the truth. It's a crime to tell the truth.
And I want to thank Thompson so much for providing that song, It's a Crime to Tell the Truth. And I want to welcome you to tonight's program. It's going to be a departure for us. We'll talk about chemtrails. Chemtrails is the name given to those plumes emitted by aircraft in the sky. Despite those who deny chemtrails exist, a rapidly growing number of people and organizations in numerous industrialized countries now believe chemtrails are visible artifacts of current geoengineering programs. Geoengineering is the name used to define the intentional process of altering engineering of the Earth's atmosphere. In November 2010, the UN attempted to regulate chemtrails. We're going to have two guests this evening. And I'll read an announcement. Jim Walsh, Region Director. Jim can't join us tonight, but he will join us on
Speak speaking of future programs, next Friday, Dave will have a great program featuring Professor Louie and People for a New Society, who will talk about what it means to be working class. And on December 19th, Dr. Jill Stein, the Green Party's presidential nominee, will join us to discuss women's censorship in the USA.
Thanks, Lynn. That's California Lynn, by the way, and they call me New Jersey Dave. They call me other things, but we'll just go with that. If our first guest was a painter, he might have painted a mural warning us about chemtrails. But Jeff Saxon is an award-winning singer-songwriter, wrote and produced Best Music at the 2012 Awareness Film Awards in Los Angeles. Murdering us, Jeff. That's really remarkable, remarkable song. well, and I think we'll be on. Lynn, did you know what chemtrails are?
I did not know or hear about them until the last couple of years. I had heard bits and pieces here and there, didn't really pay much attention to it, didn't really think much about it. And then a couple years ago, actually it was 2 years ago, we used to go to a restaurant at the Jersey Shore, and we'd sit outside on a Friday night. And we'd sit by a lake outside, and up in the sky every Friday night for the entire summer that we would go to this restaurant, you would look up in the sky and there would be these two planes that would be crossing the sky, and they had a plume of white smoke. I believe it was two plumes from each plane, so it was four plumes.
They were crossing the sky. They looked like a checkerboard.
Yes, they were. They were, indeed, and they did that for quite some time. And I remember sitting out there looking up at them each Friday night and thinking, I wonder what that is. You know, I've not seen that before. I wasn't sure what that was until I kind of thought about the conversations that I'd heard or read about with regard to chemtrails. And I'm not sure if that's what they were, but they pretty much fit the description of what I had heard about with regard to chemtrails. Although I don't think they call them chemtrails anymore. They call them geoengineering, I think is the technical term for them.
Well, we're going to find out because we have an expert in chemtrails coming on shortly.
Okay.
And he'll be able to tell us scientifically what's going on. But watching this, it covered the entire sky. Just covered it. Again, it looked like a grid pattern, a checkerboard grid pattern. And I remember saying to you, what are you doing? I wonder what they are doing today.
Who were these planes? Where did they come from? What were they doing? And it was interesting because the white plume that was coming out of the back of the planes lingered for a while in the sky before it dissipated. And we would sit there and we would watch for the entire summer of 2012. For the entire summer of 2012, we sat every Friday night and we watched these planes go through the sky.
When did you have that very unusual cataract situation?
That was in the summer of 2012. I was diagnosed in the summer of 2012, although apparently it had been going on prior to that.
But not that much time, because you had your eyes checked a year, and then the next time you had to check, they said, oh my God, what's going on?
That's correct. That is true.
We're going to.
All right, so in the summer of 2012, I was having problems with my eyesight, and I just thought, oh, I need a new prescription lens. Just need to get my lens tweaked. So I went to my regular optometrist for an eye exam, and they had all kinds of problems getting the regular tests that you would do, the depth perception test on my left eye. And I remember the doctor during the exam, a routine eye exam at an optometrist's office, crawling into my left eye, not literally, figuratively, crawling into my left eye. And I remember saying to her, what is the problem? And she said, well, you have a massive cataract on the back of your lens. And I said, well, what does that mean? She goes, well, I looked at last year's eye exam, and there was, you know, no cataract there. So within a year, I had developed a massive posterior. Now, cataracts are something that are developed over decades. They are something that people get in exposure to sun and the elements, and they take decades to develop on the front of the lens of your eye. And here I was sitting in an optometrist chair with a massive posterior back of the lens cataract. And I said, well, you know, you must be wrong.
But when I heard the doctor say you had a massive posterior, I said, hey, you better watch what you say to her.
Yeah. Well, she said, so I said, well, how is this caused? And she said, well, there's only three causes for the type of cataract that you have. And one of them is steroid abuse over a long period of time, which certainly wasn't my case. The other was diabetes, which wasn't my case. And the third was radiation poisoning. So she said, if I were you, and she just seemed rattled. She said, if I were you, I'd go see an eye doctor. So 3 weeks later, I saw an eye physician in August of 2012 and a surgeon. And he crawled into my right eye. And I'm talking about a doctor, you know, getting very concerned, you know, looking, bringing in consultants, all the other doctors walking down the hallway, hey, come over here and look at this. And I said, I don't know why you're looking at my right eye. It's my left eye that's a problem. And the physician said to me, oh, no, your right eye, the cataract on your right eye is as bad, if not worse, than your left eye within 3 weeks. And I said, well, how could that be? And he goes, you have very aggressive cataracts. And he basically told me in August of 2012, within a year, I would see only shadows if I didn't have cataract surgery. Now, at the time, I was 55 years old. Cataract surgery isn't covered by most insurance plans unless you're on Medicare. So I saw, I didn't believe these two doctors. I did not believe them. And I went to a specialist, a very well-known eye firm in a very large city in the Northeast. And I spent 2 hours in their chair and I saw three physicians, including a woman who was visiting from China. And they were looking
She was a doctor. She just wasn't sitting in the waiting room.
Right. She was just one of some that came in, you know, hey, come on over here and see these cataracts. Yeah, you're right. She was a physician visiting from China. And so basically the doctors, there was a young doctor with, and this is just my personality, a young doctor with $200,000 worth of student loan debt. Of course, I had to talk to him about that. There was the visiting physician from China and an eye surgeon who was in his 70s. The three of them were looking at my eyes, basically concurred. Within a year, I would see only shadows. And I'm thinking, how could this happen? I've never been sick in my life. This is bizarre. How am I going to do tax season? You know, that's all I'm thinking about. How am I going to do tax season? And they basically said, you know, have cataract surgery or don't see. That was my prognosis. And that was in August of 2012.
The most experienced of the physicians there very cautiously took the side.
Well, I was pressing the doctors at this renowned eye surgery place in the Northeast. And I said, how did this happen? How did this happen? What are the causes of this happening? Posterior meaning back of the lens, meaning it's not exposed to the elements. It is not exposed to any of the causes that cause regular cataracts. This was a special type of cataract. And I pressed and pressed and pressed at this eye place for 2 hours in the chair. And finally, the older physician said, well, you know, you live in New Jersey. They do a lot of spraying there. Those were his exact words. They do a lot of spraying there. And I have no evidence that my posterior cataracts were caused by anything. However, you listen and you wonder when something as devastating as going blind happens, you try to figure out, you know, what the causes of such an ailment is. And I remember him saying that, and that really stuck with me a lot. And then I became more interested in the subject of chemtrails, which I had kind of put on the back burner. I hadn't really thought much about it. And then after we visited this very famous eye surgery place in the Northeast, that very same day, we went to this restaurant on the river and we watched the planes and what was coming out of the planes. And I just kind of started thinking more and more about it.
It was right around the time that I was talking with our next guest, Jeff Sasson, and he was talking to me about chemtrails and poisons and toxicities, and I really wasn't quite sure what he was saying, but I listened to his song, and hopefully Jeff can join us now and tell me what's going on.
Hey, Dave.
Hello, Jeff. Hi, Jeff.
How are you? I'm doing good. How about you?
Oh.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Jeff.
Listen, I have a
thanks
true
for
or
having
false
me on.
Oh.
What's that?
Thank you. I have a true and false scenario for you.
Okay, good. Should we cue the theme music?
No. I don't know how to work those buttons yet. But here's true or false.
Okay.
Did you write the following? Once I began to research, I found chemtrails to be more sinister than any science fiction or horror scenario.
That sounds about right. I don't mince words, and I tend to put things in, some kind of an analogy or colorful or attention-getting manner.
And that certainly does that. So what prompted your concerns, Jeff? Did you see these same types of lines?
I did, and it was on a very clear, sunny day, and it was on a freeway here in New Jersey, and where you had a tremendous look at the horizon, and I was just about, saying to myself, wow, what a magnificent day, a great day to be driving and be alive, and then all of a sudden, these shapes and these plumes started appearing, and I could not attach their existence to anything that I had seen before in my lifetime. And it was not, I couldn't say, well, there's some kind of an air show, and there or some kind of a, attention-getting stunt for advertising or something. It just seemed completely out of whack, out of the ordinary. And it's seeing them and having them not disappear anytime soon, it just kind of shook me up. And I went home, I told my wife about it, and she was the one who actually told me, that she had heard about, heard and seen them, and that they're called chemtrails. So that set me off to...
What kind of work?
She's actually a flight attendant.
Aha.
And so, obviously, she's up in the sky a lot, but serving people and not, not really just like, not a lot of time for sky gazing, but probably more than the average person. She notices things, and she knew about them, and we had a chat about them, and then I researched. And I did an extensive amount of research before I even thought about writing the song. And the more I learned, I'm never going to say it makes sense to me, but because it doesn't. It's just there's nothing logical about it. There's nothing, common sense. There's no common sense to it. So I did my research, and that went on for probably weeks, and then I started accumulating, what I thought would be like the raw material for a song, and did what I normally do for a song. When I write a song about something that I didn't have, a lot of history or extensive knowledge about, I take it like, almost like an academic endeavor where, I really get to the bottom of it. And so I feel like I'm speaking from a base of knowledge, and, I have some substance. So I did that. And then the song eventually materialized, and I did the recording at my little humble home studio, did the guitars and vocals, and then I had a producer friend of mine do the rest of the tracks for it, and that's pretty much it. But getting back to your statement, the more I researched, the more I looked into it, the more it bothered me. And when something bothers me enough, it'll affects me emotionally, I'd say maybe 7 times out of 10, it'll turn into a song.
And you have quite an archive of songs. I must tell you,
I do.
Tremendously talented writer, so you have helped serve the activists in the chemtrail community.
Mm-hmm.
What did you find that really resonated with you? Some of the after effects of chemtrail.
Well, there's people. I mean, your other guest tonight, Russ Tanner. I was in touch with him on the phone and by email, and he'll of course tell you about his health issues related to chemtrails, but he's not the only one. And where people are experiencing physical and emotional effects of chemtrails, and it affects their ability to conduct a regular day-to-day life, and from breathing, from allergies, from not having a clear mind all the time, and not being able to associate anything to it, like any kind of bodily failure, or like a stroke, a heart, a seizure, or anything like that. And so things like weakened immune systems, dulling minds, and just various physical and emotional
Try to point the finger of blame when people say that I have a dulling mind.
So I mean, there's a lot of just a world of information out there as far as background on chemtrails and what's in them and what they can do to the human body. In the human mind, and there was one video that I viewed somewhere along the way. I'm not sure if it was before, as I was researching chemtrails, or thereafter, but where like dozens of birds just dropped from the sky, and all of them dead. And
that happened in Alabama or Arkansas about 2 years or 18 months ago. It was the blackbirds, I believe it was. Yes,
yeah,
yes.
And what else? I mean, like, what would cause that? I mean, like, nobody's, nobody's, like, shooting them down. And if they were shooting them down, they wouldn't have been able to shoot that many, just like boom, 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 dropping to the ground, with thuds. And
they just dropped, right. Yeah,
just dropped, and it's the various things in videos and films that I've watched about it, and books and so forth, and articles, all added to the big picture. Like this is something really dark and disturbing, and people, a lot of people are so engrossed in their day-to-day lives that they don't even bother looking up at the sky. It's like they'll know, it's a sunny day and blah, 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 but they won't really, look up to see the chemtrails. They're just zoned into what they're doing. And, that's one of the tough things about it is because it doesn't usually interrupt the majority of people's day-to-day lives, that, you know, it doesn't affect their bottom line. It doesn't affect their ability, to take a walk. It doesn't affect their ability to do their errands. And because of that, a lot of people are going to, kind of slough it off as, some kind of conspiracy theory or you've got to be deranged or something or ready for the loony bin. And, what are you talking about? And they'll play it off. Oh, those are just regular plumes from a plane and blah, blah, blah. So, a lot of people just don't want to believe, the reality of it, that there's chemicals in these chemtrails that are not at all beneficial to anybody or any living thing, not just humans, but animals and plants and everything. So,
you mentioned that there's a plethora of information. I don't think you used the word plethora, but I'm going to use that. Of information.
Okay, that's a good word.
But the reality is, you have to specifically go and look for it. We're not going to find this on mainstream news, which is really terrific in that our next guest, Sam Tanner, who's from Bangor, Maine, he's an authority on chemtrails. In fact, he has, in addition to an engineering degree, he hosts Global Skywatch Radio, and you'll find him on Facebook. So he offers like an independent media resource for chemtrails. I was reading a bit, and Russ writes, if you live on planet Earth, you should be profoundly concerned about chemical aerosols, chemtrails. They affect everyone. They have already shortened your life and are the largest and most deadly crime against humanity. What do you say to that, Russ?
I say that that's absolutely true, and we're living in very, very unique times right now, and everybody who's listening to alternative radio shows like yours should be very thankful that we have a real news source where we can get information out, because mainstream media doesn't tell us the truth.
I want to welcome you and Jeff to our program called Lives in the Balance Sheet, and I found what you have been writing and advocating fascinating on a number of different levels. Can you tell us a little bit about the makeup? I'm sorry, Lynn, you were saying?
I was curious about the makeup of what's in the chemtrails.
And who's putting this stuff out? And why?
Well, I can answer some of those questions. The main thing that that I have experienced is I have, as I was, I've been listening to the interview. And by the way, Jeff, if you can hear me, it's great to actually speak with you again. I know we spoke a while back when you were coming out with your video, and I love your song. I actually, when I first got it, I just played it over and over and over again. So it's
well,
great
thanks,
to be here
Russ.
With
it's
you.
Great to hear your voice, and I'm glad that we have an occasion to be on Dave and Lynn's show together. So thanks for that, and your website and your generosity with the allowing me to use some of your footage of chemtrails for my video never escapes me. So thank you again for that, and I'm glad that we're both on tonight.
Absolutely, anything I can do, and I'm so grateful for your song that was kind of busted the doors down and got, I think, encouraged a lot of other artists to get involved. So, Dave,
yeah, I noticed that on your website that there's quite a few more videos on chemtrails. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, it really has taken off. A lot of people are writing songs and putting their talents to use, and I'm very glad to see that. And so it's great to be here. And David and Lynn, thank you for having me. And to answer your question about what the reason, what the purpose is, and what's in them, what I can attest to is, to get right to the point, is I did take rainwater samples, and had them tested, and we found 6 times the amount of aluminum in our rainwater outside Bangor, Maine, than is allowed by the EPA in drinking water. And so the recommended maximum for drinking water by the EPA is 50 micrograms per liter, and we had 600, so we were six times above the maximum.
Wow.
Yeah, so what really got me started in this is because I've been a sky watcher all my life. I know jets. I used to be able to name all the U.S. jets and military jets and civilian jets and all the rockets, and that was really my fascination as a kid. And I remember the day I saw, looked up and I saw trails coming out of jets, and I'm like, what is going on? I have never, as a lifelong sky watcher and living in the most busy air spaces, including Rockville, Maryland, which is near not far from Washington, D.C., very busy airspace, in Tampa, Florida, which is one of the busiest airspaces in the world. That's where I actually grew up, just north of Tampa in a place called Newport Richey. I have never, in seeing untold thousands of jets flying in the sky, never, ever seen a trail come out of a jet. So to answer the question, what do I think is in them, we have rainwater tests, snow tests, showing at least some of the things, which I believe include aluminum, barium, possibly strontium, cadmium, lead, and there are other things that I don't even think we know what to test for, but there are some things that smell like plastic model glue, and there's another type that smells like acetone to me because I can smell and taste them as plainly as you could walk in and smell food cooking on your stove. For some reason, I'm very, very sensitive to these things. And so as to what's in them, that's what we know so far.
That sounds to be like a toxic cocktail. And you would
absolutely
aluminum. And I know that aluminum has been linked with Alzheimer's.
Yeah, aluminum is linked with a lot of things. Aluminum causes inflammation also, and that's the problem that I have with it. When they spray this stuff, I think depending on the type, some of it travels to the ground faster than other types, and I smell it and taste it. And since, for 9 years, since 2005, when I first saw these things in the sky on a daily basis, when I start smelling and tasting them, I start having a mad inflammatory reaction. I start having heart trouble, tremendous muscle and joint pain, headaches. I can't focus. The very first day that I experienced them, I had an employee meeting. At the time, I had a small business with three employees. I don't have any employees now. And I had to cancel the employee meeting because I couldn't focus and I was in tremendous pain. And I knew something was very, very wrong because I could taste and smell this in the air. And I was shocked because only two of the four other people who were with me that day could smell them and taste them. Two of the people could not smell and taste them at all. They were just like, don't smell or taste anything. And I was smelling it to the point where it was just burning my sinuses and it was making me nauseous. It was so strong in the air. The other two people I was with tasted them a little bit. They're like, yeah, I think I do taste some metal in the air. And the other person was like, yeah, I taste it too, a little bit of metal. And to me, it was as if you were spraying aluminum dust into my mouth. It was so overwhelming.
So how does that work? So if there's aluminum and this toxic cocktail that Dave is talking about, so it's being sprayed, I don't know how far up in the sky, you can let me know. It just trickles down, or how long does it take to get down into the soil and water, or how does that work?
Well, here's what I can tell you from my personal observations is I can tell you how long it takes, at least some of it takes, to get to the ground. When they started spraying, I lived in Jamestown, New York at the time, and you never see jets over Jamestown, New York. It's a beautiful little town, great people. I was actually born there, and I would still be living there if it weren't for chemtrails. I would probably spend the rest of my life there if you want to know the truth. I love the area. I love the people. And the first time I experienced it, the jets were flying at very low altitudes, and this was in Jamestown, very, very low altitudes. I mean, you could almost see the markings on the jets if you had really good eyes. With binoculars, you certainly would be able to, except they had no markings. These were unmarked jets. It took 20 to 30 minutes after the spraying began on a daily basis. They started spraying every day intensely on a schedule, same times every day, and it took 20 to 30 minutes at these low altitudes. In 2010, I had moved to Bangor. I left Jamestown because it was too intense for me. I was getting so sick. I truly thought that they would that the chemicals would kill me. So I moved outside Bangor, Maine, where it wasn't as bad, and it was quite a bit milder there. It started getting worse. Of course, I'd spent a couple weeks' time there prior to moving there to make sure it wasn't as bad. But the next summer after I moved there, it became really quite bad in 2008. I moved there in April 2008. And I don't know, I'm not saying that it's related to me moving there, or maybe I just wasn't there long enough. It already was bad, which is really more likely. And I just, during the time I was there, they were kind of having an off week or something. But nevertheless, when I moved there, I took time lapse for a long period of time. And in 2010, suddenly they all started moving to higher altitudes. Now, I've witnessed this happen three times now. This happened in Jamestown, New York, where they suddenly, overnight, except in Jamestown, there was a four-day delay or three-day delay where they stopped spraying for 4 days, actually. And on the fifth day, they all started spraying high. Bangor, Maine, and now I live in Philadelphia, and the exact same thing happened. So when I saw this happen in Bangor, outside of Bangor, when they were flying at higher altitudes, when they would spray, it would take about an hour or maybe not, 90 minutes, an hour and a half, for the particulates to reach the ground. And I know this from my personal observations because I can smell and taste it as plainly as you can smell something cooking on the stove. So for me, I have spent many times waiting for the air to clear and then watching the spray events and then measuring the amount of time versus the altitude that they appear to be spraying at. And then when I would start to smell and taste them in the air, they come pretty rapidly. Only a period of 2 to 4 minutes, it will go from mild air to full intensity. That's generally how it works. And that's how I estimated when they're spraying at higher altitudes, then I noticed really that it took 60 to 90 minutes for the particulates to reach the ground.
Did you find the other residents in New York were getting sick also?
Absolutely. The problem is nobody knew why, because nobody or very few other people could smell or taste it. And this is the frustration I have in my life, is that, and the other people, I've had hundreds of people now contact me to say that they can smell or taste it, but unfortunately that those are hundreds out of tens of thousands. So in Jamestown, we had unbelievable things happen. Everybody we knew started getting sick. Not everybody, I should take that back, not everybody, but so many people were so sick that there's nobody who didn't know somebody who was sick. Cancers, strokes, heart attacks. In the couple years I was there during the spraying, I started in November 2005 is when I first started seeing the daily spraying, although they were doing intermittent spraying for a few months before, and I had health symptoms during that time. But the daily spraying, the daily intense sky-covering grids started in 2005 in November. During that two-year period, I have never known. That very first year after they started spraying, I know more people who died than I had known who died in the rest of my life, and doubled. It was unbelievable. I even got emails from family members saying, oh, my God, what is going on? What is going on?
Who do you think is behind this?
Well, this is happening in all the major countries of the world, or at least most of them. It is synchronized. This is all happening at the same time because high bypass turbofans do not emit trails. Regardless of what anybody says, they do not emit trails. Even NASA is now trying to convince the public that they emit trails, but this is a complete lie. And for that reason, because it's all coordinated around the world, you have to realize that it's a coordinated effort, that's an international effort that most governments of the world are cooperating on. Now, this would be very hard for most people to accept who don't understand that this kind of a cooperative effort can take place for the very same reason that we have international banks owned and controlled by the very same small group of people in all the countries of the world. So once you understand the very tightly knit nature of governmental control, financial, economic, political, military control in all the governments of the world, it begins to make sense that you could see such cooperation in the spring in all of the governments. So the governments are obviously putting out the money. They're allowing these jets in their airspace. So that's where the buck stops, I believe, is with the governments. Of course, there are the bankers who control the government, so you could take that another step if you want. But ultimately, in the eyes of the people, the governments really are responsible for this.
Russ, I don't know if you heard, but I was relating a story about my cataracts that I had was diagnosed with in 2012.
I was listening, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I was on a mission to find out how a person goes blind in a year. And I started investigating the military bases in the area where I live, especially on the heels of the experienced eye physician who made the comment, oh, they do some spraying there. And I found a book called Exposure, Victims of Radiation Speak Out, because that was what I was focused on at the time, was that radiation, was what they told me, is radiation is the only other explanation for the massive cataract growth that I had. And I found this book, and it basically lays open, it was an investigation by two Japanese journalists who go around the world exposing how governments, including the U.S., but other governments as well, how they would do nuclear testing in remote islands and areas just to see how it would affect the civilian population there. Just to see, okay, well, we'll explode this here underground, and then we'll go away, and then we'll see what happens to the population there. Time and time and time again, from the South Pacific to Russia to Australia to all over the world, and it was really eye-opening. So what you're saying, you know, to me, makes sense based on, you know, my own personal quest to find out how a person, you know, a healthy person could go blind in less than a year.
Absolutely. I'm so sorry to hear what had happened to you. I was listening to the show before I came on, and that is just astonishing what is happening to you. And I have, on the Global Skywatch website, we have posted hundreds of examples of tests that have been done on just Americans alone, without their knowledge or consent. So this stuff goes on all the time, and thank God that we have radio shows like this one that are actually telling the people about this. So if you're listening to this show, I urge people not only to support this show, but tell your friends and neighbors to start listening to alternative media and turn off mainstream corporate-owned, corporate-controlled media, because they're lying to you. Day after day, they are lying to you.
Hallelujah.
Absolutely. And I understand on your website you have a law on the U.S. books that allows the government to do this type of experimentation. I can't recall the laws. I saw it on your website.
105.85, yeah.
Yes. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. A lot of people have learned about this in the last few years since becoming notified about the spraying. And by the way, for people who are listening, if you're not familiar with this subject, we do call it chemtrails sometimes. That's kind of the popularized name. But if you do a search for chemtrails on the Internet, you're going to find a lot of mostly government-run or corporate-run websites that are going to call this a conspiracy theory. What you should look up is geoengineering. That's a good term, or climate stratospheric aerosol geoengineering, SAG. Is another term. Those are the terms that the scientists are using, and you will see that what they are doing is they're talking about spraying the atmosphere just like we see now in the future, but that's a disinformation technique because they're doing it now. Talking about it in the future is just a way to make people think they're not doing it now. But the law you're talking about is the Public Law 105.85. This was passed into law on November 18, 1997. And this is called the use of human subjects for testing of chemical or biological agents. And here's what the law says. It says the Secretary of Defense may not conduct directly or by contrast any test or experiment involving the use of a chemical agent or biological agent on a civilian population, sounds good so far, or any other testing of a chemical agent or biological agent on human subjects. Sounds like a good law so far. But now we get to Section B. Exceptions. Subject to subsections C, D, and E, the prohibition in subsection A does not apply to a test or experiment carried out for any of the following purposes. In other words, the above law we just read doesn't apply in these situations. Any peaceful purpose... What's that?
We have the USA of doublespeak.
That's right. That's right. And here's what it says. These are the exceptions to law. Any peaceful purpose that is related to medical, therapeutic, pharmaceutical, agricultural, industrial, or research activity, any purpose that is directly related to protection against toxic chemicals or biological weapons or agents, any law enforcement purpose, including any purpose related to riot control. Basically what that says is we cannot test on human subjects except for any purpose we deem necessary. That's Public Law 10585 that is on the law books. You can go to Cornell University or any of the online law depositories and look it up. And I encourage people to do so. Just check it out.
Wow. I found that very shocking when I read it. Wow.
Yes, and I also would add one thing so people don't become confused. Section C says that testing can only be conducted, and this is where a lot of people become confused, but that's the whole point of Section C of this law, which follows right after what I just wrote to you. Section C says that the government must provide informed consent to the public. Now, informed consent has two different meanings. Under law, real law, that means what you would think it means. You have to be informed and you have to consent. You have to actively consent. However, this law and a lot of attorneys, just like doctors don't know about cancer cures, attorneys don't know about what I'm about to tell you. A lot of attorneys don't. Constitutional attorneys do. International law attorneys do, but your conventional attorneys don't. And what it says is when it relates, this law is not under the venue of your normal law. It actually falls under the venue of the Uniform Commercial Code. And what does that mean? Well, the Uniform Commercial Code is a set of books about 3 feet or 4 feet wide, if you look at them on this bookshelf, that actually govern commerce all around the world, in every country of the world. And informed consent means something completely different in the Uniform Commercial Code. It means that all it means is that those who are publishing the law, in this case, that they can test anything on you anytime they want for any purpose they want, if they publish their intent in some reasonably publicly accessible place, and you don't object, then you have consented. It's exactly the same as if a credit card company sends you a notice that you owe them money. If you don't actively reject that notice, then you have consented, and they can take you to court, and they will owe you money. In fact, under the UCC, I know somebody personally who was attacked in law. They sent a letter to another party and said, you owe me $1,000. This is real. This actually happened in Florida to a friend of mine. Somebody sent them a letter saying, you owe me $1,000, and the people who received it, my friends, thought it was a joke. They're like, yeah, right. We don't owe you any money. What are you talking about? They were in a conflict about some housing or something, some other thing. So they just threw the letter out. A little later, the person who sent the letter sued the recipients of the letter and won. Because under commercial law, if you don't actively reject, then you have consented. And this law is treated under the Uniform Commercial Code. So if you don't actively reject this law by proxy, because it has been published in a publicly accessible place, and it has, then the public is assumed to have consented to be tested upon, even if it causes death or damage, permanent damage to your body.
Kind of like by default, if a law firm or a creditor takes you to court, but you don't go, they win by default.
That's right.
Is what you're saying. Yeah.
That's right. You have to actively defend yourself. If you don't defend yourself against the creditor always wins.
Right.
Or usually, anyway, almost always wins. But by default, they generally win because you have to actively reject their claim.
Interesting.
So why do you think you're doing this, Russ?
Well, one of my favorite things to do is to get into the heads of these people. I've actually been studying government corruption. I don't call it conspiracies because conspiracies have been around since the beginning. I do call it conspiracies, but I don't look down on the word conspiracy as we've been trained to do in the mainstream media. Because conspiracies, cover-ups, corrupt governments cohorting with other governments and with industry has occurred throughout history. In fact, most of history's large events have been shaped by conspiracies. So why is this happening? If you get into the heads of the people who are doing these things, you discover something very interesting. You look for a pattern. This is what I wanted to do. And I've loved studying this because it's like, you know, I have friends and relatives who, like, love the movie National Treasure, I think it was called, with...
Yes.
Yeah, they're just like, oh, it's... Yes, Nicolas Cage, and it's you know, exciting, and it's cool. The real life treasure of knowledge that you find is so much more incredible than what they've ever put into a movie. So what you find when you look into these people who are doing this, looking for a pattern, what is it? Why do all these people agree to this? Why do they all... consent and participate in this. And what you find is that they all belong to a certain belief system. You might call it a religion. It's referred to as the mystery schools. In the Bible, it's mentioned as Mystery Babylon. And what this is talking about is a religious or a belief system, world belief system, that people hold to, that they feel that might makes right. There's a lot to this, but the bottom line is they believe that if they have the power, if they're born into a certain family, or they have the power through any means, even if it's immoral, murder, assassinations, whatever, that they deserve that position. And these people who are in that position believe that the world is theirs to inherit because of their knowledge. They believe that by their knowledge, by their initiation into these organizations, and there are many of them by many different names, but they're all based on the same fundamental belief system. When you're initiated into this...
This would be a tool of empire?
It would be definitely a tool for not only indoctrinating people into their belief system, and slowly, step by step, corrupting them into thinking and seducing them into thinking they have the right to do anything they want to make the earth their own. What they want to do is they want to depopulate the earth, keep the population to about one-tenth of its current level, so that they will have the earth as their own playground, and their families that come after them will be able to bask and maintain in the positions that they have prepared for them. So it's a type of mindset, kind of like the pharaohs and the Roman emperors. What did they do? They declared themselves to be gods. This is where it gets really interesting, the discussion about chemtrails or any of these other things, even if you're talking about fracking or vaccines. Why is this going on? What is this all about? It gets really, really fascinating when you start getting into the heads of these people, because you'll find the pattern that they're all part of the same belief system. And you don't get to those high positions anymore unless you believe what they believe.
One of the rebuttals that, you know, that I've gotten in comments on my video on Song is if governments are behind this, then how are they not just as susceptible as everybody else? You know, they're obviously not wearing any kind of protective clothing or masks or anything like that, so they're breathing the very air that they're poisoning.
Well, here's the way that it works, is that their system is shaped like a pyramid. There's a very, very few people at the top, and every level down you go, there are more and more people. At just a couple steps down from the top, those people don't even know they're being sprayed. And this is the amazing thing, and this is why these people need to be waken up, is that those people are part of societies, whether they're secret societies or whether they're public institutions that are adjoined to those societies, and they think that they have special privilege, but they need to learn just how much the people at the top really care about them. Now, the people at the very top, and there are only a few, have access to lots of money. And when you have lots of money, you can buy special air processing equipment that costs $30,000 or more that removes everything, including nanoparticulate metals, from the air. This stuff is available for industrial use. You can look it up on the Internet. But they're big units. They cost a lot of money, and they're not accessible to the common man or woman. You have to be very wealthy. And I believe
sounds to me like you are describing capitalists and how they look at their subjects. They really don't give two hoots about them. They want to exploit the earth, exploit the resources, and maintain their own society at the expense of environment and everyone else.
Yeah, well, that to me, I hear what you're saying, and to me it's as simple as calling it basic immorality. You know, there are some basic rules that we should all live by, and one of them is you don't stomp on other people for your own gain. It doesn't mean that competition is a bad thing. I think competition is a good thing. But when you start doing criminal acts that actually physically, mentally, or emotionally harm other people for your own gain, then we've gotten into the situation we have today. And that's these people, because they have special knowledge or because they've been indoctrinated into a certain society, they truly believe that those people who don't know what they know are profane, and therefore they can do to them whatever they want to do. And so that's where the real problem is. It's just basic immorality. But I hear what you're saying. I think there's many different names you could assign to it.
You know, this is really a fascinating conversation. But just sitting here, I'm listening to it. I'm not numb, because I'm embracing what you're saying, and I'm factoring in so many different scenarios where this would come into play. But it's definitely about, I could easily see it being control, whether it's imposing illnesses and sicknesses on people, for them to buy certain products, treatments, technologies, it could be a market creating. Could you come back the night we can have this further?
Absolutely, I'd be more than happy to any time. And I do agree with you. It is ultimately, this is about control. And control involves having a lot of money. So no question about it. Absolutely.
Well, I want to say thank you so very, very much for sharing your information and really piquing my curiosity. I'm going to look at you. Where's your website again?
There's two websites. One about the geoengineering/chemtrails is called globalskywatch.com. The other one that covers all the other subjects, including chemtrails, is called Orbis Vitae. It's O-R-B, like boy, I-S, Orbis, Latin for orbit or circle, Vitae, V-I-T-A-E, .com, OrbisVitae.com.
What does Vitae mean?
Vitae means life, so Orbis Vitae means circle of life.
And on that note, I want to thank you so very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Russ.
And thank you, Lynn.
We will be in touch and enjoy your night. Don't go outside, but enjoy your night. And Mr. Saxon.
Mr. Petrovich. I am.
I want to thank you so much for introducing us to this topic, because quite frankly, I would not have known anything about it.
Well, I don't
I don't know that I did you a favor. You might have been better. You might have been better off not knowing about it. But I'm making light of it. But yeah, I guess you're welcome.
Lynn and I did get some heavy duty rental crap. Interesting chapeaux, which we wear around.
Okay, you picking up any good cable stations with those?
we picked up All in the Family, which was awesome.
Hey, you know what? You should be putting down the phone and watching those.
Well,
that's where
so
the
much,
real, you know, the secret information is. You know, you play those Carol O'Connor lines, you know, backwards, and you can, you know, it'll explain the whole the history of geoengineering and chemtrails.
You know, before you were exposed to chemtrails and your mind began to dull, you were probably one of the funniest and sharpest humans on the face of the planet. So we'll have.
And I guess I'm just.
We'll explore that. But thank you so much, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Dave and Lynn.
Keep up the great work.
Thank you so much. You guys have a good one. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Wow, that was very, very interesting.
Very interesting.
I didn't know exactly what to expect, but I have some announcements. Action called Take Back the Tap, T-A-P as in tap. The Food and Water Watch, Jim Walt, talked to me today about the bill pending, fast track, privatization, privatizing. Privately owned companies have already influenced in New Jersey Senator Assembly, passed the fast track bill. Eliminate requirements that voters or ratepayers must approve all privatization deals in New Jersey. And I guarantee you that's coming to be out here tomorrow. So, for an action schedule about how you test and challenge this bill and bills like it, please visit back tab. And I'll tell you this, this program calls for nationalization, not the privatization, most, if not all, socially necessary industries, including crumbling infrastructure, roads, bridges, wastewater plants, airports, hospitals, schools.
Healthcare. Education, higher education in particular.
Well, I did say schools and hospitals. Upcoming show. I am really excited to talk about a show. My special guests include people who rap, Professor Louis, described as a genius by Pete Seeger. Joining Louis to discuss his brilliant working class, latest speaking, co-founder of society, who advocate the abolition economic system, capitalism, and its replacement. Lynn is to read. Talk about our December 19th show. Hey, we rehearsed this.
Our December 19th show will be about how women are censored in America. It seems everywhere. Women go. They have no idea they're being censored, yet they are. And the biggest impact on women these days that we read about is the violence against women. And the violence against women is directly related to our war economy, our war mindset, our insistence on war and destruction as every reason, every avenue we have to explore. Today on New Jersey's radio station, we have a radio station which promotes itself as not New York, not Philadelphia, just New Jersey. It is a radio station that is a suffocating station. It promotes non-thinking, and it promotes a very narrow thought process. And today, their question of the day was, what do you think about the bear hunt? In New Jersey, we have, since Christie came in, perhaps before, but I know since Christie came in.
I say you ought to wear a coat.
He has promoted the hunting of bears. You wouldn't think of New Jersey as having bears. Maybe some people wouldn't think of New Jersey as having bears, but we have bears. New Jersey is a beautiful state. It's the Garden State. It's a beautiful state, and it, except for the chemtrails. Every Friday night, at the lake. We have beautiful forests and woods and preserves, and we have up in the northwestern part of the state, we have a lot of bears. And there's been a lot of development. And the bears, don't do well when their habitat, when they're foreclosed. When the bears are foreclosed, they don't do well. So the solution is always, what do you do with the bears? So the question today on the 101.5 narrow-minded radio station is, who supports the governor 100 or 1,000%, they love him, is to kill the bears, is to open it up for bear hunting. Yeah, but it was about, what do you think about, bear hunting, opening up bear season? And the comments were just all, pretty much pro, I'm for it.
To women.
Well, because it relates to violence. It relates to resorting when posed with a problem, our solution is death and destruction.
I'm thinking about violence right now.
And so that's it. So our solution to Ebola was to send troops. Our solution to hurricanes or tsunamis is to send troops. Our solution to ISIS and beheadings is to send troops. Our solution to everything is war, bombs, destruction, military bases. And it creates a culture of male dominance, and that comes home, and that comes home in our neighborhoods, in our communities, we certainly have a lot of violence in America. Certainly, we've seen a lot lately, and it is because our society cultivates violence, war, and that trickles down to women in many, many, many regards. We see that in the military. Women are assaulted. We see it on college campuses. Rolling Stone had a brutal expose on a gang rape at one school. You got me on this subject now. You got me on this subject now. I'm talking about it.
This on December 19th.
I'm talking about it now. Okay. Yes.
Deb Hufer, President of and the Green New Deal activist, Dr. Jill Stein, and presumably discussing censorship of women.
Were you just censoring me?
I could mute you if I chose, but I choose.
So we'll be talking about censorship, basically a broad brush look at how women should be. Women are portrayed in America, everything from reality TV to what's happening in your neighborhood and how that really helps to shape young women's minds, young women's mindset to what to expect in society.
Women are part of the 99%, and on that note, we're going to
this is for the 99. how we work like hell. All for the minimum wage. See how we struggle in the brave new age. Hey, Mr. Union Man, where have you gone? What the hell? Help us make a stand against the greedy cooperative. They took our train, ran it right into the ditch. Ain't it a bitch? Time to pull the switch. Hey, how'd you get to be so rich, Mr. Congressman? And who do you represent? Is it the 1% who pays the rent, attends every event with a political bent that's over the top? And who will arrange your next photo op? And when they tell you they're only trying to sell you somebody's vision of a dream. Oh, 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 somebody's vision of a dream. It's a state of mind.